Well, good morning. Nice to see you all. And my privilege to be here this morning. This is not my first time at the Lighthouse Church. It's actually my second. But the last time I was here, you were in the church building that you're having your prayer meeting in on Wednesday. It was a few years ago now. But it's great to be back here again. And thank you, Chris and Rachel. Aren't they doing a great job? I don't think Chris and Rachel are doing a good job. Would you give them a hand? They're doing a great job. And just leading you guys well. And it's interesting, Chris just talked about next steps, because in a way, this morning, that is what my message is about. And I didn't intend to tie that up with what you're praying and fasting into, but it does line up nicely. So thank you, Lord, for that. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Mark, and as Chris said, I have the privilege of leading Equippers Church. And I'm married to Monica this year. We celebrated 16 years of marriage, so been together 18 years, married for 16, and in that time we've had 4 children, so we've got 2 boys and 2 girls, and we felt like home wasn't busy enough, so a couple of years ago we got a dog, and then earlier this year we thought we would try to breed that dog to have puppies, because we just wanted to be really busy. But unfortunately, she didn't fall pregnant. Now, maybe that was the grace of God saying, man, you don't know your limits, so I'll help set your limits for you. But we have a busy household, but it's good. You know, at the start of a new year, I think it's always good. And I know we're not right at the start of the new year. I know we're a few weeks in, but we are pretty close to the start of 2020. I think it's good to pause and give thanks for everything that God did in 2019. Amen? Good to just take a moment to say, God, you are so good. Thank you for what you've done. And so on New Year's Day, I was actually away with Monica and the kids, and we'd hired a little cottage up near Sherwood Forest, and we just had a couple of days away as a family. And on New Year's Day, we sat around the table together, and we decided we'd share communion. And not in a heavy religious way, but simply in a way of pausing to give thanks to God for what he's done for us. And Monica just made this statement. She said, wow, we've had an amazing 2019. And I don't know about you, I am very vision focused. I'm very future focused. And so I'm often not good at pausing to appreciate what God has done or is doing right now. And when she said it, it really made me think about all the good things that God did for us in 2019. And it really was, for me, for our family, for our church, it was a really great year. And so we give thanks for 2019. Now, here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I believe that in God, things are meant to get better. Everybody say, get better. Things are not meant to remain the same. They're definitely not meant to get worse, but the trajectory of life is actually just meant to get better and better. Doesn't mean we won't face challenges. That's part of life. But if you look at the long-term trajectory of your life, I just believe God is wanting to take us from glory to glory. That's what the Bible says. So here's what John chapter 10, verse 10 says. You know the scripture probably well. It says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. These are the words of Jesus, by the way. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Isn't that good? Yeah. This morning, just so you know, God is better than you think he is. Hey, come on, I need a little amen this morning if you agree with me. He's better than you even think he is. He wants to do more for your life than you even expect right now, because we can't fathom the goodness and the gracious kindness of God. So he wants to give us everything in abundance, more than we can expect. I love this last bit. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Everyone say overflow. So God doesn't want us just to have just enough. He actually wants there to be an overflowing in our lives of his goodness that would be a blessing to the people all around us. Amen. And so in 2020, come on, we want the blessing of God, not just for you and for me, but in an abundant measure that it would bless the community and the communities that we are based within. Psalm 65, verse 11 says this, God, this is again God's prophetic promise to us. You crown the year with your bounty and your carts overflow with abundance. I want you to picture that for a moment. I want you to picture God, you know, putting a crown on a year, a royal crown. And the kind of image is not just a crown going on someone who's just enough, but it's a crown going on someone who's just overflowing with the goodness of God. And so whether you feel like you have a little or whether you feel like you have a lot right now, the truth is God wants to bless us to the point of overflow. Psalm 115 says, may you increase more and more, you and your children. So here's the thing. I thank God for 2019, but I believe 2020 is meant to be a year of more than what he did last year. Last year was good, but 2020 is going to be better. Can I get an amen? That's the will of God for our lives. And so things are meant to get better. I believe that our dreams are meant to come closer to fulfillment than we've ever seen them before. I'm not saying in 2020 all of your dreams will come to pass, but they're at least meant to get closer. They're not meant to get further away. They're meant to come closer. I believe our health is meant to improve. It's not meant to get worse. Our finances are meant to grow in the economy of God. They're not meant to shrink. Our purpose is meant to become clearer. Our relationships are meant to get stronger. The ability to hear his voice is meant to get clearer. Things in God are actually meant to get better. And so whether you had a rubbish 2019 or whether you had a great 2019, come on, things are going to get better if we live according to God's purpose and God's plan. Amen. So here's what I want to just give you this morning. I've got four thoughts for you to consider. And at the start of 2019, I was listening to a podcast by a preacher called Craig Rochelle. And Craig Rochelle talked about six different things that you could do as a leader to actually develop your leadership. And that message really impacted me. I took it on board. I taught it to a number of people on our team. And at the end of 2019, I had implemented some of the things he had talked about. And it was so helpful to me that I decided in Equippers in Surrey that I would share it with the church at the start of 2020. Because I thought it was so helpful for me, it's got to be helpful for other people. Now, I'm not going to share six today. I'm going to share four. And the reason being, two of them are kind of fairly leadership specific points. I might give them to you at the end just to write them down. But if you've got a pen or a piece of paper or a phone, I want you to write down these four thoughts this morning. And I just want you to consider one of them this year might be something that you really need to think about in order that we would have a great 2020. Is that all right? In fact, the title of my message is this, Our Best Year Ever. Can anyone believe that with me? That 2020 could be our best year ever. And in order to have our best year ever, I want to give you a couple of thoughts. Number one is this. In order to have our best year ever, the first thing we might want to consider to do is to add a discipline to our lives. To add a discipline to our lives. Or in other words, we might want to start something new that we've never done before. Now, how many of you know if you do a little thing over and over and over again, if you do it for long enough, you will see big results in your life? How many of you know that's true? Most of us want to do one thing that is really big, one off, and hope it changes our lives. Chances are it won't. It might have a momentary impact upon your life, but what changes us is when we do little things consistently for a long period of time, it has the biggest impact. For example, I don't know whether you are good at saving, but if you're a saver here, you will know that compound interest is your friend. It's your friend. And if you were to take £1 a day, and save £1 a day for the next 20 years and put it into an account that was accumulating compound interest, in 20 years' time, you would have a serious amount of money in that account, just £1 a day. Just a little thing over a long period of time has big results in our lives. So here's my challenge for you this morning. Maybe there is one little thing that you could add to your life this year that over a long period of time would have a major, major impact. So let me share mine with you. So at the start of 2019, I was challenged to start journaling. Now, by journaling, I just mean having a journal, and whenever I have time with God every day, I just take a pen, and I write notes about what I think God is saying, what God is speaking to me about. And now, I've tried this many times in the past, and I've got to put my hand up and say, pre-2019, I was a terrible, terrible journaler. I knew the benefits of it. I knew that when you open your journal and you have your Bible open, it creates an expectation that God is going to speak. I knew that. I knew that if I journaled over a long period of time, I could start to see a pattern of what God was talking to me about. And I could go back and retrace my steps and see how God had been leading me. But despite all of that, I was rubbish. And here's what I would do. I would get a journal, and I would be brilliant for about a week, and then I would be hopeless for the next 6 months, and then I would feel a pang of guilt, and I'd think, oh, I should really journal. I'd go back to it, and I'd start over again, and I would repeat the cycle. But here's what I heard somebody say at the start of 2019 that was so helpful. They said, if you're going to journal, why don't you buy a little diary that has a little space every day throughout the year, January the 1st, January the 2nd, January the 3rd, and they said, find a diary that has enough room for just 5 lines. Just 5 lines. And they said, you could do that. You could write just five lines. My handwriting is quite big, so I could probably even make it 3 lines. Just 3 to 5 lines of what God is saying. And I thought to myself, I could do that. I could do that. And so I walked around to my nearest Sainsbury's, and I didn't buy a fancy journal. It's not a moleskin journal. It's nothing that you get excited about. It was like a $1.99 journal from Sainsbury's with a plastic cover. It looks ugly. But you know what? If I showed you that journal, probably 90%, not 100%, but probably 90% of last year, there's a daily entry of what I felt God was speaking to me about. And that was just one little discipline that I added to my life. And I know if I keep on doing that for the next 10, 15, 20 years, I know it's going to have a major impact upon my life. Here's another little discipline that I added last year. In March, we had a pastor called Pastor Matt Fielder. And Matt Fielder is part of a church called Kingdom City Church. And he helps oversee a whole lot of churches and helps work with pastors. And he really challenged, our church. And I personally felt very provoked that we should be reading the Bible, not just a few verses at a time, but we should be reading through it far more frequently than we are. And so he had challenged his pastors to do that. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you could do that. And so from March of last year, I decided for 15 minutes every day, just 15 minutes, that's not a long time, in 24 hours worth of a day, that I would just simply read through the Bible. And in 15 minutes a day, I've probably read the Bible about 1.5 to 1.75 time in that year. Amazing how much you can read with just 15 minutes a day. And it's a simple discipline that I've added to my life. And so here's my new discipline for 2020. My new discipline is I'm going to read one chapter, just one chapter, of a book. Could be any type of book. Could be a leadership book. Could be a pastoral book. I don't know. Could be a fictional book. But one chapter a day, I'm going to read, because I like reading, but I often run out of time. So I decided one chapter a day, that's what I'm going to do. So I want to ask you this morning, what discipline could you add to your life today? Don't add 10. Don't add 20. What one discipline could you add to your life that could change you? Amen? Let me give you a couple of ideas, a couple of things that might just spark you, your ideas this morning. You could decide, I'm going to read a book every month. I'm going to read one book. You could decide that every day I'm going to read at least one chapter of the Bible. That's going to be my discipline, one chapter every day. You could decide that you're going to be the person rather than skipping devotions with God, every day you're going to have a devotion with Him. If right now you don't spend time with God, that's probably the place to start. Where you say, every day, even just for 5 minutes, I'm going to have time with God. Amen? You could decide for 5 minutes, every day I'm going to speak in my heavenly language. If you have a heavenly language from God, speaking in tongues, I believe it's one of the gifts that we don't use enough. And you could say, every day, just for 3 minutes, or for 5 minutes, I'm going to discipline myself to speak in my heavenly language. You could listen to a podcast once a week. You could do what I've done, start journaling. If you're married and you don't pray with your husband or your wife, you could say at least once a week, even for just 5 minutes, I'm going to add that discipline to my life of praying. A couple of other things you could do. If you are someone who doesn't save very much, but you spend more that comes in, you could this year add a discipline where you're going to save even just a little bit every day or a little bit every week. If you're the person who turns up late to meetings, you could be the person that says, this year, I'm going to add a discipline of turning up 5 minutes early to every meeting I go to. I don't know what your discipline is, but maybe this year, in order for you to have your best year ever, there's something that you need to add to your life. Does that sound okay? All right, well, here's the second thing this morning. In order for us to have our best year ever, number two is we have to have the courage to stop doing something that we used to do in the past. Not enough to keep on adding. We're good. Most of us are good at adding, aren't we? Most of us are good at adding new things to our lives, adding new TV shows we want to watch, or adding a new sport we want to try, I don't know what it is, but we're good at adding. Most of us are not good at removing things from our lives. And if all we ever do is add, how many of you know that's not a good way to live? Every now and again, we've actually got to come to God and say, God, is there something in my life that is no longer helping me that I need to stop doing? Amen? So I'll give you an example. Start of this year, or the end of last year, rather, Monica and I took over leading Equippers Church, and it's been our privilege to do that. But for the last 4 years, I served as Pastor Peter's executive pastor. And that meant there was a number of things that I was doing that needed to be done. But as I look at 2020, I needed to decide, what of those things should I continue doing and what things should I no longer doing? Now, one of the things I used to do every week, I would meet with our accountant and we would go through all of our bills. We would go through all of our expense payments, and we are a reasonably decent sized church. And so that, could be a stack of paper like that. And I would personally sign every single one of those, just double checking that that's a good payment. We're paying the right thing. And I decided at the start of this year, that is something that I'm no longer going to do. Now, let me just say this. If you have responsibility on your life, you can't stop something without first empowering somebody to do what you were doing. It's not enough just to say, well, I'm not doing that anymore. If my wife turned up one day and she said, I'm not cooking meals for the kids anymore. God's spoken to me. I'm done. How many of you know that would be a disaster unless she had put something in place to make sure the necessity of that continued? Amen. So don't just stop things, and hear me right. I'm not just saying drop things, but I empowered somebody, one of our trustees, to carry on with that particular role that I did not need to do any longer. Amen? Now, if you need a biblical precedent for this, well, we find it in the early church. Now, in the early church, the apostles were busy men, and the church was growing at an exponential rate. And they were getting drawn to do things that they really didn't need to do. And so if you remember in the book of Acts, at one point, the apostles look at all of their doing, and one of the areas they deemed was not the most effective use of their time was feeding the widows at the time. And so what they did was they said, you know what, that's not what we should be doing. We need to stay focused in prayer and teaching the word of God. And so what they did was, if you remember, they found men who were full of the Holy Spirit and had a leadership grace upon their lives to take up the work of feeding those widows. Amen? So they knew there was something in their lives that was stopping them from doing what they now needed to do, but they found people to empower so that they didn't need to do it any longer. I just wonder in your life if there isn't something in 2020 that perhaps once upon a time was a good thing for you to be doing, but in 2020 is no longer the right thing for you to be doing. I wonder. And the way you know the answer to that question is by simply asking the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, are there things in my life that I need to bring to a close? If I'm going to have the most effective year for you, are there things that I once did that were fruitful that are no longer bringing fruit to my life? Amen? Let me give you a couple of ideas of things you might want to consider stopping in your life. I've given you some practical things. These are more, I suppose, maybe less tangible, but things like negative talk. Maybe this year you need to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to change the way I speak this year. Negativity or gossip or any of those things, I'm going to remove them from my life because they are not helping me go forward. Maybe you're here today. Are there any control freaks here today? Give me a wave if you're a control freak. I see that hand. I see that hand right at the back. I'm always funny whenever I talk about control freaks in church. They always normally love to wave at me. I don't know why, but they love to let me know I'm a control freak. Maybe the thing you got to stop this year is the need to control everything in your life. Am I pressing a button right now? Maybe this year, the thing you got to stop doing is the need to control everything. I tell you, I understand that as we grow in the things of God, that we got to give more and more of control over to God. And there are more and more things in my life where I just have learned to say, God, I can no longer control that. Here's what I can look after. God, you got to look after the rest. Maybe you got to let it go of control this year. Maybe you got to let go of comparison. Comparison, one of the biggest killers in our society today. I believe comparison at the root of many problems, at the root often of people's how they feel about themselves, perhaps even impinging into the areas of mental health. Comparing ourselves with other people. Maybe this year you've got to put a line in the sand and say, I will no longer compare my life to other people. Listen, I could give you some good news this morning. Your life will get better the minute you stop comparing. I guarantee it. You'll be happier. You'll be more joyful. You'll be more hopeful the minute you stop looking and comparing what you've got to what other people have got and just start thanking God for what it is you do have. Let's enjoy the journey, amen? Maybe this year you're going to stop being the person who rushes everywhere and is overly busy. That's like our 21st century drug, isn't it? To be busy. How are you today? I'm busy. It's almost embarrassing to say, I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I've got a bit of extra time and I got margin and I'm not living I'm ragged. I'm not living on the edge. No, I'm all right. I'm fine. It's like embarrassing to say that, isn't it? We've got to say, oh man, I'm busy. Whoo, you wouldn't believe me. I got so much going on. I got too much going on. I'm like, no. Come on, how about this year maybe stopping the need to be busy? The need to fill every minute of every day with something. Do you know what I did last year? Last year, I'm not telling you to do this. This was my conviction. And I don't have a problem with the wider philosophy of it. But for me, I came off all social media. Some of you are like starting to shake at the thought of that. What would I do in those 2 seconds that I have in between pouring the kettle and waiting for it to boil? You know, what would I do? And for me, I just felt the Holy Spirit just say to me, first of all, come off Instagram, because it was becoming addictive. I would just be checking it at any spare moment. And I felt like God say to me, I want your thinking time and your free time. I don't want Instagram to have it. And then I thought, I'll keep Facebook for a while. And then recently I felt God just tell me, come off that. And so I went to delete it. I don't know if you've ever gone to delete Facebook. They give you 2 options. One is a temporary delete. One is a permanent delete. Come on, if we're going to kill something, let's kill it. So I permanently deleted it. And I don't miss it at all. I'm not telling you to do it. But for me, it was something I decided to stop in my life to create more space that I could actually hear the Holy Spirit leading me. Come on, some of us can't hear the Holy Spirit because our lives are so crowded out, so filled with the voice and the opinions of others. Amen? Come on, we've got to tune up the voice of God and tune out the voice of other people that are not helpful to us. Amen? That leads me on to my third thing, number 3. Remember, you can consider these. And you might not want to do all of these, but one of these you might say, I'm going to do that. Number 3, this is probably my major focus for the year, me personally speaking, is a relationship to initiate. A relationship to initiate. So everyone has relationships, but not everyone has relationships on purpose. I'll say that again. Everyone has relationships. We've all got neighbors. We've got people to go to work with. We might be married, have family relationships. We've all got relationships, but not many of us have relationships on purpose. In other words, people in our world that we have deliberately positioned ourselves to be around that we might glean from them so that we could grow. Come on, give me a wave if you want to grow this year. You say, man, I want to grow as a person, as a believer in 2020. Well, guess what? It's probably going to take the help of other people to enable you to grow. So you've heard this statement before. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. We all know that's true. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Someone put it like this though. Show me who you're listening to and I'll show you who you're becoming. That's powerful. Show me who you're listening to. What is the major source of influence in your life? And I'll show you who you are becoming more like. Somebody else said this, and this is true. You are the average of your 5 closest friends. Isn't that true? You're the average of your 5. If you look at your 5 closest friends, the chances are you'll have similar interests, similar income level, similar aspirations. Why? We just tend to settle around the level of people we're with. And so if we're going to change who we are, we have to change who we are with. I'm going to say that again. If we're going to change who we are, we have to change who we're with. If you want to say the same, just remain who you're with right now. But if you want to grow and become something and someone better, you actually got to upgrade some of the people that are in your life. Amen? Now, here's a great phrase. I copied it, but it's a good phrase. This morning, you may be one relationship away from changing the course of your destiny. You may be one relationship away from changing the course of your destiny. How many of you know when Peter was fishing beside the side of the water, he was one relationship away from a man who changed his whole destiny? Same with all of Jesus' disciples. For me, I was happy flying planes. I was an airline pilot before I was a pastor. I was happy doing that. And then one day, I joined this church called Equippers Church, and we met in a hall not too dissimilar to this with a group of people, probably not too dissimilar to this. And I started to get excited about what God was doing. And then one day, I had a coffee with the pastor. His name was Bruce Monk. And I came out of that time of having coffee with Bruce, and I couldn't quite work out what had changed. But I knew everything had changed. and it changed the destiny and the trajectory of my life. And so maybe there's someone this year that God wants to bring you into relationship with who can actually take you to where you need to go. Amen. I believe that's true. It's interesting that many, many people in the Bible who pursued another person to get what was on their life. We discover that Elisha pursued Elijah because he saw something about Elijah that he wanted. And the Bible says he did what? He killed the cow and burnt it, had an offering, burnt the plow and made a little bonfire out of it and said, I'm never going back to that, and started to pursue a man that had something upon his life that he knew would be an amazing blessing to him. It's completely biblical. We find that Timothy pursued Paul because he saw something on Paul's life that he knew was going to help him as a young church planter. We find Joshua following Moses all over the place because there was an authority and a fatherhood on Moses that Joshua craved in his own life. We find the Apostle John, who pursued Jesus perhaps more than even any of the other disciples and was known as the one whom Jesus loved. He loved them all, but there was something about John. And you know, the Bible scholars will tell you today, when you read the book of John, sometimes when you read it, his language is so like Jesus's that you've got to ask the question, is it Jesus or is it John speaking? Isn't that amazing? He made a decision. Jesus, I am pursuing you. You are who I am going after. You're a relationship in my life that is going to take me to where I need to go. About 3 or 4 years ago, I encountered a man called Michael Maiden. Some of you may have known Michael Maiden. And he spoke at Shack Conference, the annual gathering of Equippers churches in New Zealand, and greatly impacted my life. And then came to London and spoke at our leadership conference. And I just knew in my heart there was something about that man, that there was something on his life that I knew could help me. Now, here's the thing. He lives in Phoenix, Arizona. I live in Cobham, Surrey, long way away. I couldn't go to his church every week. I couldn't come and be part of his church, but here's what I decided to do. I decided that I would read everything that he's written. I decided that I would listen to everything that he's preached. And I decided if I could get into an environment where he was there in a conference or whatever, I would go there. And you know, in about a 12-month period of time, as I would drive in my car, I would listen to his messages. And over that period of time, something really happened in my life. That man doesn't even know it, but he massively helped me. He helped my theology. He's helped my preaching. He's helped my faith level. He's helped a whole lot of things about my life. And all I chose to do is I chose to pursue him from a distance. Perhaps in 2020, the thing that you need to do is decide, come on, is there someone, God, that I can draw alongside who can actually coach me and help me to go to another level? Amen? And here's the thing. That person, by the way, is almost certainly not just going to fall in your lap. The chances are you're going to have to go after them. You're going to have to chase them down and draw alongside to glean what is in them. Amen? Here's the fourth thing and the final thing this morning. Number four is you might decide that in 2020, to have your best year yet, you need to do this. Number four, you need to take a risk. Everybody say that with me. 1, 2, 3. Take a risk. That was about 50% of you. I'm going to get you all. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Take a risk. Come on. Maybe this year, if you're going to have your best year yet in God, you're going to have to take a risk. Do something that if God doesn't show up, you're in trouble. Go somewhere that if God doesn't sustain you, it's not going to work. Do something that if God, do something that there's no guarantee of success, that there's no 100% commitment to this working out, but it's like, I don't know, I just feel in my spirit, I got to take a step and a risk and see what God would do, amen? Here's what Jimmy Carter, the old president, said. He said this, go out on a limb, for that is where the fruit is. Come on, how many know the fruit in life is not in the safe zone? The fruit in life is that on the limb. Is that when we stretch out of our kind of area that is not comfortable? In business, they'll say this, they'll say, no risk, no reward. No risk, no reward. But I want to say this to believers, no risk, no testimony. No risk, no testimony. Come on, how many of you want a great testimony this year? How many of you want to stand at the end of 2020 and say, man, I got a great testimony of the goodness of God? Well, probably no risk, no testimony. No risk. Maybe we miss out on the blessing that God has for our lives. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says this, for God has given us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. And so if you're here this morning and you say, well, I don't know whether I could take a step of faith or not, I just want to let you know you can. If you're here and you say, well, I don't know whether I can risk it or not, you can. You can. And the reason I know you can is because if Jesus is living in your life, you have a spirit of boldness. You have a spirit of confidence, amen? You have a spirit of self-control, a sound mind, the ability to launch out and know that it's not all going to fall over. And you might say to me, well, I don't know if now is the time to take a risk. I actually believe that it's always the time to take a risk. It's always the time to take a risk. You got to take the risk when you're small, because if you don't take a risk when you're small, you'll probably never grow to be big. You have to take a risk when you're big in order to go to the next level. If you don't take a risk, you'll never get to the next level. You take a risk when you're declining, because if you don't take a risk when you're declining, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to not exist anymore. You take a risk when you're young, you take a risk when you're old. It's always a time to take a risk, to step out in faith and do something new, amen? One of the little statements that we have as equippers, we have a number of little statements that summarize who we are, and one of the statements is this. I love this statement. It simply says this, we're not going to die wondering. We're not going to die wondering. In other words, we're going to give it a go. If it doesn't work out, who cares? Might have lost a little bit of money, might have lost a little bit of face, but it doesn't matter. We tried it. We gave it a shot. We took a risk. We're not going to die one day and say, oh, I wonder what my life would have looked like if only I had taken that risk. I said to our church in Surrey, when Monica and I were asked to become the senior leaders, I said to them, you didn't realize this. I said, but it's a risk for you and it's a risk for me. Nothing is guaranteed here. There's no guarantee that this is going to work out. It's a risk for you. It's a calculated risk, by the way. But it's a risk for me. Who knows? But we trust that God is leading us. Amen. Let me give you a couple of risks that you might want to consider taking this year. Number one, you might want to take a relationship risk. A relationship risk. Maybe there's someone in your world that God is wanting you to reach out to. Maybe there's some brokenness somewhere, and God wants you to be the one that takes the risk to reach out and try and reconnect with that person. Amen. Maybe you need to take a job risk this year. Go for a job that you think, man, I don't think I could ever get it, but give it a go anyway. Who knows? Take a risk in business, a medical risk. A career risk, a family risk. Maybe you're going to take a risk to start reaching out and inviting someone to come to church or come to something in your world, and you think, I don't know what they're going to say, but it's a risk. Do you know, for our commissioning service as senior pastors, I invited a whole lot of people to come along, people who don't normally come to church, and for many of them, it was a risk. But you know, two of those people who came along, one person rather, who came along, they all said yes, they all came. But one of the ones who came has been coming every single week since. Come on, it was a risk, but it was a risk worth taking. Come on, maybe you're going to take a risk, you're going to invite your neighbor to church. You're going to invite someone you meet on the bus to church. You're going to invite a work colleague to church. And it's like, I don't know what they're going to say. Well, the worst they can say is no. That's the worst they can say. The best they can say is, I'm so glad you asked me. I would love to join you on Sunday. Amen. Come on, maybe it's a risk to start tithing. Maybe you've never financially given before. And you say, it's a risk. I don't know whether my money's going to work out at the end of the month. Well, it is a risk, but I guarantee it. God is good and he'll come through for you. And so this year, four things that you might want to consider doing to have your best year yet. Number one, you might want to consider adding a discipline. Number two, you might want to consider stopping doing something that enables you to do something new. Number three, there may be a relationship for you to initiate this year. And number four, you may decide it's time for me to take a risk. Amen? How about standing at your feet with me this morning? Let me pray for you. Worship team could come and then I'll hand over back to Chris. But wonder for a moment, would you just close your eyes? Lift your hands for a moment, just with open hearts. Open spirits right now. Well, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've been talking to us. We thank you that you've been leading us this morning. We thank you, God, that your word is a fresh word for us. That, Lord, it's never stale and it's never old. And this morning, Father, we just submit our hearts to you. And Holy Spirit, we ask you, in 2020, in order for us to have a great year, Lord, what are some of the things that we need to do? Holy Spirit, would you speak right now? If there's a discipline that needs to be added to our lives, we're saying yes. Holy Spirit, if you're saying there's something that needs to stop, we're saying yes. Holy Spirit, if there's someone that you want to bring us into relationship with who can lead us further than we are right now, we say yes. And Holy Spirit, if there is a risk that we need to take individually, corporately as the Lighthouse Church, then we say yes. We want to go out where the fruit is. We don't want to remain in our comfort zone, doing the same old, year in, year out. We say yes to the potential and the possibilities that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks, Chris.
I close my eyes and colors fly. There's no hiding from your grace. I can't deny your heart from mine and this unrelenting chase. I was on the edge of deception, caught up in my own hesitation, until your love took over me.
Yes, Jesus.
So I let go and I let love show me life like it's supposed to be. An oasis, here awaits us, all the freedom I'll ever need. Now I'm alive, oh la la, oh la la. When I let go,